John Aaron and I, John with an E, Tom, I was at Factory Manta Grocery for, we're sitting in a consoles and mokering at that place you guys see on TV. And John and I are discussing two things. What do we need to do to check this equipment out to make sure that it's good and it's reliable? And the second thing is, are we ready to go to the moon today? Is this equipment enabled? We rent some imitation equipment, was everything. And the director of the Johnson Space Press Center, the big honcho, come down and he clipped his hands on our shoulder. And he says, "Son, we don't need to go to the moon today unless you're ready. Now, is there anything you need me to do to help you?" That's the kind of management style we had. I think today it would have been, "You guys didn't figure out how we're going to do this." That wasn't the case. If it's bottom up, what do you guys need to do to get your job done? One story.
Thank you,
Jim, for
Jim.
sharing. And
Yes.
yeah, I.
In my
Couple of past
career,
jobs,
I
bottom person, and I sometimes had to call their baby ugly whenever product was shipping, like, and I had to run it up the flagpole that way. So, thank you for sharing, Jim. KJ5, KJ, K7FDF, I'll let you carry on with your 75 meter net. Again, thank you for sharing.
I'll work on you. I was just going to say. Yeah, but that's a story you probably never hear, right? You'll probably never see that story. There are hundreds and thousands of them. Apollo 13, when it blew up halfway, 100 miles out of state, Goddard, Valver Mile, watching the cafeteria. And there's the Jolly Green Rhino, we call it, with Phil Schaffer and Sherry Bosty. Yeah, right after the explosion, and the spacecraft was a non-return, it was out of trajectory, non-return pattern. And so we had to get back on the return loop. Here these guys are with a circular slide rule, a ball collect pin, and a napkin, doing high-level mathematics with a ball flight pin to make a trajectory to firm the rim edge we'd never done before. Oh, I got gobbler's choice. Ellie will never see again. A ballpoint pen and a tried ruler and a napkin, a paper napkin, to make the first burn to get Apollo 13 back home.
And most people don't know what a slide rule is. I think I own two, and yeah, I used them, and they were challenging.
I still got my favorite. That's good for you. Anyway, what's your name?
Yeah, Jim, it's Fred in Reno, K7FDF.
Right, yeah, good to know you, guy.
Yeah, well, I'm a physics and economics major. Yeah, from forever ago, and I had to do rewrite FFT transform from an AIM-65 to a Kim-1 back in the day.
I'll let you know for the mission, you're on the surface of the issue that we had on third season. First, Peter was a out-of-plane maneuver, out-of-plane landing, and by that, you'll grasp real quickly. All of the, if you put a dish between the center of gravity between the mirror, that's the plane. Apollo 11, Apollo 12, were that plane. So if something happened, you were still under the gravitational effects of the Earth, where it would pull you back. Apollo 13, the itch plate was tilted. It was not on a free return where the Earth's gravitational pull would assist in getting it back home. We had to do something to make that happen. That was a conversation that these two guys did for the circular slide rule, ballpoint, and a paper napkin.
Well, that's another fun story that we made it then, and somehow we can't make it now. What do you think has changed?
The first story you directed your answer, your question.
several months ago, and I'm not going to name the university or anything, but the physics department and invited to be up there to have a conflab on the scape and a bunch of instructions for the Q&A, that kind of thing. There are core flight controllers up there, by the way. And at the end of the conflab, after it was all over, three professors approached me. Three professors. One was a mechanical engineer. The other was some kind of head shrink. He was a psychologist, so let's see what in that area. And the third one, I'm not too sure what it was. But the mechanical engineer professor starts to take this finger and starts pointing to my chest by here, sort of white man up there. And he asked me a question. He said, "You think that you guys would have had AI back then, you would have got through Marina sooner?" That was the question this botanical doctor asked me. I'll break for a second. Basically, what you're asking. And I looked at all three of these professors and kind of I looked at them, and I said, "Well, let me explain it this way, Joe." John F. Kennedy stood as a stage at Rice University in 1962 and put we're going to the moon at the end of the decade. The end of the decade was 8 years later. 8 years. He gave it 8 years to do that. And let me tell you, I looked at being done. I think NASA young. We get to have an astronaut group of any prize. We didn't rocket. We didn't have a booster. We didn't have a pull center. We didn't know how to build EBA. We didn't know how to navigate. We didn't know how to stock. We didn't even know how to land on the moon. And we did it in 8 years. I looked at these three professors that did. What's your part of it? He's an AI. Fred, all three of them put their nose up in the air. You certainly even get their nose waltz away. And did you say, "Thank you, adios," or "up your"?
Well, physics is physics. And
I don't know. Are we relying too much on software these days that somebody else wrote that you guys did?
Pray. I wonder. That was the big difference, Walker. And I was ready for those professors to come back. The big difference was that back then we had a president that we're going to do. We had the funding. We had the money. And whatever we did, we got. Today, that is all after. That's after. And it turned down to a lot of civilian cake. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. I think that's a job, education, exploration. We did it, and now it's up to a civilian to do it. And NASA got a hell of a lot better job. We had the money. That's your answer. Your answer in the long run is we had the will of the nation. We had the spirit of the nation. And once for it, we had a Cold War. We were at war, whether you want to believe it or not, and that was a motivating factor.
Thank you for the insight.
Hey, Jim. Hi. We haven't been there for a long time, and everybody keeps crashing their probes into the moon, and sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. I'm just curious why we go back to square one and start over.
Anyway, gentlemen, this is November 5, after the adult, mobile.
It called gentlemen in so many years, I don't know how to react.
This is Brian KJ.
KJ5, KJ, do you copy Kilo 8 November Inc?
Kilo 8 November Romeo.
Good evening, Jim. Name on this end is Neil, November Echo India Nima, located GTA to McCannon, West Virginia. Listening to your conversation earlier, just wanted to hop in and say hello. Say thank you for what you did years ago. It's an honor to get to hear you. I knew another gentleman who was a ham operator. His name was Frank Conway. I have got his ham radio. I'd have to take the lid off of it. He engraved his call times. It's been so long. But he worked for Grumman Aerospace, and he helped to build the Lunar Module.
Back. So, what
was your name again?
Name on it then is Neil, November Echo India Lima.
Neil, I'm Jeremiah. How are
the command for responder Letzel Power Systems at Berta? My expertise for the electrical power system is sequential systems, the Gotham system, the instrumentation systems. I got it. Several other I probably forgot. But I knew the Grumman guys. I knew the Lim guy. And let me tell you what. They're a refined group. Bill Pierce with Shelby down here in Mission Control. I didn't Bill. And he's been up at Grumman a lot, so... Yeah, whatever you have, it is an honor to have. The limb they built was a spectacular great craft, and I want to tell you what, it saved our bacon on Apollo 13.
That's great to hear. Yeah, Frank was a good guy. I enjoyed knowing him a lot. And he and another group, after he'd retired, of course, several years. It had been several years that Frank had been Silent Key for a number of years now. But he and another group from a group of guys from Grumman would get on, I think it was on 160 meters every day, and they would talk for a while. And he asked me if I wanted to participate one day. And I was a younger fellow back then. I'm 64 now, but I was probably, I'm getting back in my early 30s or something. Then I just got then I had my general or advanced, I think general probably back then when I was talking to him. And of course, I was anxious to talk to these guys because it's a piece of history. And I rigged up 150, I didn't have 160 meter antenna, so I had to literally build something overnight and load it up with an antenna tuner. Probably took a few people televisions out in the neighborhood for a little bit, but it was a conversation in the morning I'll never forget. Back to you.
I want to tell you that limb was very interesting vehicle, and I actually wish I would have spent more time trying to get involved or going on what was in it, but to be up front with you, we didn't have enough time to do what we really needed it to do. So the interesting thing about Mission Control back then is we trained so much together, we worked so much together, we completely trusted the guy next to us. We completely trusted. Once you put that mission badge on, you had trust.
Oh, that's great. That was, I remember, I think I was, well, Neil Armstrong, I guess that was, 1969 or something like that, I believe. I was 5 or 9 years old back then, but I remember it. I remember recording it on my cassette recorder because I said, this is one of the biggest achievements we've ever done before back
then. That's an interesting. I was on the console, right? I was physically
one of the three folks who was whole world, a handful of folks. It was Sizz at the Mission Control Center that night. That was an interesting thing. And if you knew what Neil was doing, and if you knew how close we were to calling the board, the Jeremy guy, the GNC, the propulsion guy on the lens side, was sitting there washing his needle and washing it built down, and he was in within a section of calling the fort. And it turns out Neil were following a period. And the downrange radar was saying we're still so high off the lunar surface. But unknown to us, Mission Control, Neil was actually filing over a canyon heading to a bluff. Very interesting night.
Fantastic. Well, I'd love to hear a lot more of your story sometime. I'm sure you have quite a bit. So I'll let you go for this evening. I know there's probably some other people that would like to hop in. It's an honor to get to talk with you, sir, and I hope to talk to you again here soon. I'd love to hear some more of your stories. It's been an honor to meet you. So, Jim, have a good evening. It's a pleasure. KJ5KJ, this is Hilo 8 November Romeo 73, my friend. Pleasure to meet you.
8 November Romeo. Yeah, dear. Neil, you have a good night up there on the East Coast. And the snow is coming in, as you know, and enjoy it. And well, be safe, my friend. It be safe. And welcome to our family of the Comrade.
Well, if I may,
No.
MTLY.
This is AC4BR. It's been a pleasure to listen to you so far. It's been a happy night, Chris. So, but what's the weather? Many good ones, but Fred's one of them. I could always sit and listen to Fred talk to somebody. KJ Valve, KJ, good to meet your, or make your acquaintance. Thank you for what you did on the Apollo and everything else. Look forward to, like the other gentleman, to hearing more stories one of these days, hopefully.
It was an interesting situation, that, you know, a handful of there were three Bakersdits, Full Center, Cropper. I'm gonna just go Eddie roughly per share. And go, you know, you're not talking about a whole bunch of people that get in this, but what's very, very interesting is that a lot of folks still aren't there. It was a nation that allowed us to here. It was a nation that figured with the door. It was a nation that gave it the friendly. And it was boasted by the Cold War. We had a Cold War going on back in the 60s or so. And Apollo 8 could make the trip to the moon, the first Apollo 8 mission. That was definitely a Cold War mission. That was supposed to be a lunar Earth mission checkout. There's a lot of things that gave us. It gave us the support that we hit that the guys nowadays, I'm not too sure, have all that support behind it. Going to the moon and the court. You know, it's not NASA folks anymore. It's a lot of other folks. So. Anyway, I appreciate your comments, sir. But I want you to know there was a hell of a lot of other people.
I'm sure of that. I actually had the privilege to go down and watch the shuttle launch. We'd done a little pre-space shuttle, but actually got delayed. We were going to watch it from the NASA viewing area. And actually got slightly closer because it got delayed to the next day when we went down to watch it. We were over on, call it Titusville, Cocoa Beach area. And from across the bay, which is still way far away, because that's a giant bomb if things were to go, badly. But anyway, it's still interesting. It sounded like a jet engine mixed with thunder. It was the weirdest sound. But we got through that
by the Cold War. We had a Cold War going on back in the 60s, though. And Apollo 8 did make the trip to the moon, the first Apollo 8 mission. That was definitely a Cold War mission. That was supposed to be a lunar Earth mission checkout. There's a lot of things that gave us. Gave us the support that we linked it to the guys nowadays. I'm not pretty sure have all that support behind them going to the moon and the court. You know, it's not NASA folks anymore. It's a lot of other posts. So. Anyway, I appreciate your comment, sir. And I want you to know there was a hell of a lot of other people.
Here it is. I actually had the privilege to go down and watch the shuttle launch, which I know that was free space shuttle, but actually got delayed. We were going to watch it from the NASA viewing area, and actually got slightly closer because it got delayed till the next day when we went down to watch it. We were over on called Titusville, Cocoa Beach area, and from across the bay, of course, you feel way far away because that's usually a giant bomb if things were to go, badly. But, anyway, it's still interesting. It sounded like a jet engine mixed with thunder. It was a weirdest sound. We got to tour the NASA place and everything. And I remember walking under the Saturn V. What they're called, for lack of a better term, cones, you know, that were on the bottom of the rockets and huge. I mean, the ones of the space shuttle big, but those things were gigantic.
And so I couldn't imagine what it would have been like to be there, but
Anyway, I'll let some other folk may walk it in. Again, I do appreciate you letting me speak to you and get the show to talk to other folks there. And hope to hear you again, sir. This is Brian. I'm in Monticello, Kentucky, so South Central Kentucky. That's Lake Cumberland area, the big man-made lake. Well, being right here anyway. And I'll pay 7-3. And I'll
be clear.
8-4 BR.
KJ 5 KJ. Here is KA 9 Tango Quebec Charlie. Tango Quebec
Charlie. I thought the what call?
Kilo Alpha 9
Tango Quebec Charlie. Name is Jack. QTH is Northeast Wisconsin. Just listening to your conversations tonight and thought I'd share an interesting little tidbit with you.
Jack, the name is Jim, and I am all ears tonight. It would be very interesting. Cut back.
Well, Jim, I'm looking at you as that days, and I have to say I'm impressed. And this is a kind of a rare event, but my dad, who is W3IKS, he's been a silent key now for, gosh, 26 years, I think. Anyway, he, back in the early 60s, he sold a lot of the computer equipment to NASA that they were using in that era. It was like a lot of paper tape and crossbar switches and all kinds of fascinating technology that doesn't exist anymore. But he got to meet the 7 original astronauts in the Mercury program. And I was a little bit too young to really, I wish I'd been paying more attention. But I know I was a freshman in college that night. You were busy saving the bacon up there on Apollo 13. But my dad had great stories about the original 7 astronauts that he had a chance to get to know back in that era. So
real honor to hear you on the air tonight. And thanks, really, for all that you've done.
KJ5, KJ, Jack, Japan Alpha, Charlie, Kilo, Kilowatt, Alpha 9, Tango, Quebec, Charlie.
Yeah. At the original 7 Mercury astronauts were on Site 2 before NASA was really even built, the NASA Spacecraft Center, before they moved into Building 4 at that time. So I'm trying to picture the air if your dad was visiting then. Was it after the NASA complex was built or before where they were in Site 2? You probably really don't know.
Sadly, you are 100% correct. I know his business, he and another gentleman had started, they had an office in Bethesda, and I think a lot of their dealings were in D.C., if I remember correctly, but my grasp of the details is pretty weak at this point, but I wish I could have done a little bit more about that. But he would occasionally drop stories about it was pretty cool then, and now in retrospect, it's way cool.
I'll give you another story on our computer systems.
Yeah. We, at Cardinal Mission Control Center, Beeson said, but we had a bank, and I'm not an IBM. I guess it was 360. I don't remember what they were, so don't quote me. We had enough computer processing power. I'm where we kept it. We had enough computer processing power on the first board to get it from Ross to orbit. Now, I want you to put that in your brain when you think about it a little bit. And there were, when we got to orbit, our flight director, we had a code word. You got first floor of the computer guy to say, okay, we're going to shove another set of tapes in. Because they put us some orbit tapes in. So now we got that computer power to stay in orbit, maybe new TLI. You know, you guys, We went to the moon on a shoestring. We didn't have the prosthetic power you had nowadays. You know, I sat on the Alaska Power Council, and I used Glide Rule. All the math and all the stuff was done to get Apollo 13 home, and how much battery energy we did was done with Slide Rule style. We didn't have any, and the first computer or processor we had in Mission Control. For a slight controllers to use with Skylab.
I think that makes the case that the real computers were what you guys had between your ears.
And your ability to use those now by now standard pretty primitive tools. Interestingly, I still have my dad's slide rule. He was an electrical engineer, and I was a physics major at the time. I just finished my freshman year when Apollo 13 was in flight. And anyway, I'll bug out of here and let some other guys talk to you. But wow, this is really cool. Thanks so much for sharing your stories. KJ5KJ, it's been an honor.
KA9T2C,
that's
Charlie, you still out there?
KA3AKA, how about it, T? Are you out there? No copy, N3LLY. Got away.
The system you're listening to is connected to the East Coast Reflector. Please visit eastcoastreflector.com for in-depth information about the system.
KJ5KJ.
Oh, dude, Jim. Share another story, KJ5, KJ8, K7FPF. Yeah. Who's there?
Sorry, it's Fred in Reno, and I'm sure a bunch of other people are listening.
I don't know. I got a lot of stories to you.
What are you guys interested in? What do you want to know?
Good evening. The time is 10 p.m. Weather condition.
Do you have a book
or
a documentary
link?
Booker? I don't. I don't believe in that. I believe what we did back then. A lot of actually, a lot of it didn't really know how important it would have been because we're 6 years from now of what we get. We were just playing old. We were young, very young. We didn't. That's probably what made it cut to the extent because we were so young and we were bulletproof. We felt we were bulletproof. And not only that, but we had the support for the management team that people are, they empowered us to do if we had to do. And I think that's what made us so great back then. But it was a head trick to figure that out. Not me. I'm just a plain old dumb engineer.
Well, you're a very smart engineer, Jim.
Come on, people out in the world. This is a very good learning experience.
When did you get started in the Apollo missions? Was it from the beginning or in the middle? And, lots more stories I'm sure to share.
Well, I don't know what's your first graduate kind of blind tower. Where did I start? I started around zero. I worked all four of the unmanned missions. I had just gotten off console when Apollo 1 caught on fire. The backup guy that greeted me was named Charlie Jones. That was a horrible, horrible thing, though. And I would say, in my opinion, if that would have not happened, we'd have never made the moon. Here's another story, Apollo 13. How many of you guys out there saw that movie, Apollo 13? That's a good movie, in my opinion. 90 minutes to put it took us over $100 to date. The failure occurred with the 13 somewhere around 65 hours elapsed time, and we didn't get home till 142 hours elapsed time. So the what ComHack did with in 90 minutes, it took us $100. And let me break a bit up. I'll give you a story of how close we were to losing those guys. In my opinion, there were three or four major things that took effect. The first thing was we had a backroom guy down in that lab sheet, our environmental control expert, Guy Lieber. We lose the oxygen. You lose the oxygen in the service sponsor. And we had in the command module something called a surge tech, which put the oxygen necessary to get the crew home after we separated from the service module and had entry. The cert tape is currently shipped online. So what that meant was, is if that cert tape had not been isolated by Larry's call, not Gryas, Larry's, we wouldn't have had oxygen in the command module to bring the guys on. Get miracle number one. Didn't see that in the movie.
Didn't see that. It's not a miracle. It's just pure good engineering. Number two, within hours of remission, we had guys with slide rules and paper napkins contributing a burn to put us out of free return batch of herb, which were going on.
That number two. Biggest one, the biggest one from my perspective, guy.
Yeah, though that film in Apollo 13 where they're all in a room puddle around and Gene Kranz is sitting on the board taking command like Gene normally does. That actually happened.
However, there are some people in that room in the real world that were safe. What happened in that room with Lee, when John Aaron falls out of the Gene, you can't do that. We don't have enough battery. And that's true. We did not have enough battery to leave the boat died on. We did not have an introducing a command module batteries at that point to the mission to get these guys, call three of us home safely. Bro, what happened? Tuesday, or one thing really happened. A guy by the name of Jerry Boston of Light Dynamics came up with what's called a PC Brush Super and was a parasite. And what that did, it saved 10 hours off from mission and put it, that gave us the energy in our batteries that we needed to bring 8 guys home. And I want to tell you, there was somebody to watch it over us on Apollo 13's eye. They were a good engineer and with the world and the self, but it, for we had it, God, I believe. End of story.
Thank you, Jim, for the story. Again, I'm perplexed by the ball of the money thing right now and AI and what you mentioned earlier. For why can't they do it now? Why couldn't we done it multiple times between then and now? So, yeah, I'm so perplexed by that.
Hey, this is my opinion. You gotta understand that in the 1960s, we were in a Cold War with Russia.
We had atomic bombers in the air. That day, 24 hours around the clock, 360 day beer, wait to go coke. It was a Cold War. Russia was heading the moon. We wanted to go. It was a psychological Cold War. The money was there. Is it? And John F. Kennedy says we're going to the moon. It was a political stunt. And the money was there. The money's not there now today, okay?
And Grant wrote, real? Yeah. What we did in 8 years would take it 16 years, but hell, it'd take it 20-some-odd years to get back. But that's another story.
That's the buck situation. Not only that, but the American people and the world were behind what we did. I won't tell you what, after we ran over the moon in Apollo 11, I sat there, and I looked at the morning paper after I shared a mission patrol, and it dawned on me, hey, we have really done this. I had to pinch myself that, oh, hey, we've really landed on the moon. But it was a mud issue, and it was a national goal. The president said that's what we're going to do. We have a different environment nowadays.
Yeah, I guess now we're trying to build iron domes of whatever. Yeah, the iron dome of the U.S. But now we're too busy trying to blow up ourselves instead of go explore. May I ask your opinion of Elon Musk, non-politically, please.
I am going to take. I don't know.
I've been retired for many years. I've been away from NASA many years. I hang on. Some of these things going on, I just agree with. But not by that.
Right, but Bill. Bill. One more size get that.
In my opinion, that the job at Dirk's floor is said to be done. And what it done would turn over to the civilian organization. That is a civilian.
God, that in the military, the government, the United States government ought to be out of it. We ought not be financing. We ought to stay. It could be done. But
the Apollo program would do it.
You know, Apollo 8, I don't know, you guys, that was a famous faith quote that Frank Foreman did. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That's Apollo 8. What swung Apollo 8 was not a NASA goal. It was a DIA goal, even a government goal, because they got news that the Russians were heading the limiter, and he weren't. That's the money we had back then, and that's the power we had. It was a completely different situation.
Well, back to my earlier comment, Keith and Nadia, it's challenging to land on the moon, and, Elon Musk wants to populate Mars, and thank goodness the Mars rover is far. Still roaming around the exploring, but that was a successful experiment from our part.
Well, I don't know how to answer your question, but I'll get you. This ball we're living on is going to die someday. Mars has died. This ball will die. Not in years of my lifetime or our grand, but we have to start something somewhere for this human race of ours to sip up. And that's my take on that, man. You know, I'm open for critics to be angry. I've been shot before, and I don't want that. But that all will die. So whether it be Elon Musk or it wants to colonize your fathers, I personally don't see what benefit we'll get from it. But the thing, it's a steppy, it's a learning zone. It's like a sail ship that crossed the ocean back in 1442, and came, or steam came along. We had a steamship. So it's a bigger progression. It's something that we will learn from to colonize future class. And if that's the stepping stone that we need to take, God, let's take it.
Right, Jim. KG5, KG. I'm going to be I'm going to be here, and thank you very much again. I'll let someone else attempt to share their stories or ask questions. K7, yeah, clear.
KR4IQO.
IQO station, I'm back.
Yeah, this is KR4IQO. I was just, I guess I came in on everything a little bit late, and I was listening to everything, and of course I love learning if I could, but I'm not exactly sure exactly who we're talking to. That had all this information and knowledge.
What's your name?
Ron Markopoulos. I'm over here in Jonesboro, Tennessee. I have one of the oldest brick structures in Tennessee, built in 1820. It was built by Samuel Jackson. And I'm a semi-retired painting contractor and our antique collector.
My name is Jim Kelly. I
may have carried on a little too much tonight, but what I have spoken is for truth to my knowledge. What happened tonight, I got talking to a guy, and somebody looked me up on QR there.
And I did a tour at Nashville on the Apollo program and Mission Eden Crowe. They just been asked me questions about the Apollo program tonight.
I've got that. Yeah, that's very interesting. It's always, probably nice to be able to get some, new information from someone who has experienced things like you have in your life. I mean, I've experienced a lot of different things too, but nothing like that. And I really appreciate your coming on there and talking to telling one all of your experiences.
Definitely tell you something in this life. We all have
there isn't, and every one of them are important here. And I want you, hey, you know, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter who in the hell you are, how many degrees, or what, how many shingles you have on the wall. What really matters is what you are inside. And I'm gonna tell you what, yeah, you'll find the Apollo programs in the future that are peeing around mission control that are still around, and a lot of us, we're just down to earth, normal human beings, guy. We hurt, we bleed, we have sorrows. It's just normal. I want to tell you, we never thought that we never felt we were doing anything. We never thought that we were a special above anybody else. And I advise some of our astronaut pack that you won't find that in the flight control bay. And if you're interested in space nursing and stuff like that, you know, maybe I'll get hold of her and we can speak together.
My wife said thank you so much, and you made her evening talking with her.
Tell her, Sheldon, tell her not to have you drop my pants when you stick to that needle.
Well, this is KRF IQO, and I'm just standing by here. Let other people want to get in there, and they can trap you.
Well, I'd be glad. Don't care to entertain.
Sir, I have never turned down any questions, unless it was something I couldn't really talk about for other obvious reasons.
Well, I understand that. This is HD4B. Hector, my first boss, when I got out in the job world after the guy that worked on nuclear stuff, but anyway, nope, then they never come ahead. Did you ever like really screw something up? And if so, was there by chance, you know, I'm just curious, you know, if you got badly reprimanded or if something else screwed up and so.
What was your name?
My name is Brian up here in Monticello, Kentucky.
Hey, Don. Hey, Don.
Oh, sorry. It's Brian. We've been hillbilly in the rest of the country for it, too. So, Bravo, Romeo, India, Alpha, November.
Brian, I understand your question. Answer your question. We probably didn't screw up. Let me tell you. What happened back in those days is we had what we call simulation. And under our leader's command, which is J.E. Crash, we had a whole group of people that were simulate guy. And what a simulation was, it was a full blown, I mean, with a crew, it cost me a bunch of money. It was like a real, real mission. The computer kit was like it was real. And those guys were, their job was to screw us up and make us fail. That was their goal in life. So what happened was, during these simulations, if you didn't fail, if we did screw up during a sim, we had what we called debriefing. And it went around the horn, and you admitted your fault to the whole world. I mean, the whole group of flight controllers.
You could, yep, I know what I did, and da da da. And if you ever tried to cover it up, you were no longer a flight controller. That was phase one of our training in terms of what we did. Did that make sense to you, what I just said?
It does, actually. And I appreciate that. I hadn't thought about it since I had to pick more, you know, the calculator and stuff. I guess not found bad, but we can't get it. But not, I mean, I knew, you know, there was things back then allowed for that more so, but I hadn't really thought about that angle. So, but yeah.
I'm not finished yet.
So what happened in these simulations, and I will give you, if I have Paco, think about it later on. We had a simulation just before the Apollo 11 real lunar landing where we in mission control screwed up. Yes, we screwed up. And if I can remember later, you remind me, if you're interested, remind me to tell you that story. This is the thing. We screwed up, and we admitted it. We went through and looked at our faults and analyzed our faults, and we corrected those. But anyway, so what happened, sir? Brian, what happened? You develop a very trust relationship with everyone on your team. You get to the point that you know whatever this guy's telling you is the truth. You know, you get to trust this guy. He get to trust guy shit that kid. And in a panic emergency situation, if he tells you to go to FDA Aux, you don't question that you're going to FDA Aux, and all of a sudden it goes to the crew. Esting the Aux. No discussion, no nothing, because there's a trunch level there. So that's page number two. Page number three of your questioning, when we really screw up in a real mission, a real mission was realized to state, how to would handle it, mission and patrol. That was really what you were after, correct?
Correct.
That question, Ryan. And I'm not going to hear names or nothing else, but I want to tell you what. With all the that we went through, we walk issues and whole at the individual, and he rests as one. We left at one. So the guy that screwed up, we were still one team. We were not divided. And I'll let you come to your caprice on that. Apologize, I didn't come to that question. It's a little pathetic on my end or yours.